people. We like to interview entrepreneurs, executives about their journey, what they've learned along the way. And for Sunday Golf, you guys, from what I've heard so far, it's an amazing story. So could you guys just introduce yourself briefly, and then we'll get into the rest of the questions?
Yeah, so I'm Ronan. I'm one of the co-founders here at Sunday Golf, kind of CEO as well.
My name's Patrick. I've been here since the start of Sunday Golf, employee number one, and I wear a couple different hats right now. I'm in the customer experience on the wholesale side, so
All right.
everything wholesale related.
Who is
That's
this?
Mindy. This is Mindy. This is my daughter. She's always with us, and she's pretty much the office dog.
How old is Mindy?
Mindy's a year and a half. She's a gold labradoodle and sweet as can be.
Yeah, she is sweet. I think an Irish wolfhound might have slipped in there somewhere.
Yeah, I saw Katana. Is she a terrier? Is she an Irish wolfhound? I go, eh, not quite, but.
So you guys at Sunday Golf, you have a very unique product. You have a product line now, like multiple lines now.
Yeah.
But could you just share with the audience your origin story and how Sunday Golf got started?
Yeah, so I was actually in the golf industry for, gosh, going on 15 years now, but 10 of those years I wasn't golfing, so to speak. I wasn't really a golfer. I was in more on the product development and sourcing side of things. It just so happened to be I'm from North County, San Diego. So a lot of the golf companies are up in Carlsbad with Callaway and Terry with Tyler. So I helped them do their sourcing and manufacturing in a very small relationship, I guess you could say. But I guess backing up, I lived in China for about 5 years, and that's where I learned how to develop products, source products, etc. Fell into working with a lot of the golf companies, helping me source their golf bags. And then in like 2019, Galen and Casey around the office, they dragged me to the Loma Club here, which is like a par three course, to play, and said, okay, I'll give it a shot. And when I went there, it was, it's right at Point Loma. You can kind of see the planes taking off. You can see like Coronado. You can see the ocean. There's dudes in flip flops. Music's going. Beers are flowing. So I was like, oh, this is like a lot better, or different than what I typically envisioned golf as, with the khaki pants and the cardigans and the whole bit. So,
Did you grow up playing golf?
no. I played basketball and football.
Okay.
So I just, it was a little bit too slow for me and stuff like that. So, but I went par three course. Again, there's nine holes, long holes, 120 yards. It's kind of like bowling with the bumpers on, if you will. But one thing I did notice was everyone either had their big bag with all their clubs in it, or it was still their big bag, but they took half their clubs out. And to me, that didn't make much sense. But given my background in golf bag design and manufacturing, I said, okay, I think I can make a smaller bag to fit four or five clubs specifically for this use case. And so 2 weeks later, we went back and played, and I've made a prototype for myself. And then during that round, there was about two or three other rooms that came up and asked me, hey, where'd you get that bag?
During that first time.
That second time,
Oh, the second time.
prototype,
Okay.
prototype. Yeah. So they asked me, hey, where'd you get the bag? And I was like, oh, I just made it myself. I didn't think much of it. But it was then where that kind of that light bulb moment happened where you go, oh, actually, yeah, maybe there is more of a need for this, right? Because it was a lot more enjoyable just walking with like four or five clubs. So then that was, yeah, I guess summer of 2018. Fast forward to 2020, we said, hey, look, we'll give it a shot. And so we put in our first order of the small bags since we had dialed it in with like the frosty pocket and the strap, etc. And we put the order in. And I think about 2 weeks later, all the ports over in Asia shut down. And, we emptied our piggy banks at that point. And we're like, oh, shit, are we going to like get our money back, or is the world ending, or what's going on?
Yeah, you got to think at that time, you're taking a leap of faith and you're doing this, but also the world feels like an ending.
For sure.
Most people really think back in 2020, it was like we didn't know what it was or what was happening.
For sure. For sure. So it was a blessing in disguise, if you will, because it gave us pretty much 6 to 7 months to plan for the launch of the bag. So we had the website ready to go around February or March of 2020. And then, like, the whole COVID thing. So then I'm like, all right, well, what are we going to do? So we actually spent time, like, kind of building a community on Instagram, you know, on social media and stuff, like building up like a coming soon email list. So then when it did come time in August, we actually had a little bit of a, not a big audience, just something there. And then so, and then the other factor there is COVID was obviously really bad, but it was great for golf because it was like the last thing you could do that wasn't like, you know, it was socially distanced and a lot of golf courses stay open. So it got a lot of people into the game and brought a lot of people who had maybe like hung up their clubs back into the game. So we kind of right place, right time, perfect storm, whatever you want to call it, just launching a golf company and supply chain issues. Not a lot of people had golf bags. So we did. So kind of all those on set.
And so Pat, you were employee number one. When did you fall into this whole story?
So I was bartending still, and it kind of during COVID, when COVID kind of first started, I was the guy that was, it'd be 2 weeks, so everybody would be back, you know, and then 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks later, like, oh, maybe it's, you know, a real thing. So I have a little bit of, Galen, who's another one of the founders, Rona's the original founder, but then he kind of partnered up with Casey and Galen. Galen's cousin married my sister. So there's a little bit of a family mix there. And I was kind of only working part-time because, you know, I was working at a bar. It was kind of shut down. Then we'd reopen. Then we'd shut down. Then we'd reopen. So he goes, hey, man, I'd love to, if you got some free time, I need some help. Basically slapping stickers on boxes and setting them out. We had a storage unit. We're in our office now. We had a storage unit just across the street here. And basically, me and Galen would come in every day and print off all the orders, go to the storage unit, pack the bag in the box, and slap the sticker. UPS guy gets here at 3 o'clock, and then when he gets here, boom, all right, we'll see everybody tomorrow. And that's kind of how it started. And I think about the third or fourth order that we got from overseas, we outgrew our storage. So, well, I guess, you know, that's kind of the story. But for me, I guess that's how I kind of hopped on board is, starting, you know, just slapping stickers and going. And then we got to the point where after we outgrew our storage unit, it's like, okay, well, now we don't have to do that anymore. What do you want to do? And I, you know, Casey's got a really big accounting background. Roman's got a really great business background. Galen has a background in operations. And so I had a background in making cocktails. So I really didn't have, you know, I wasn't bringing to the table.
Which is all,
like, it's still very essential in our DNA as a bag company. It's still, we're the fun company. So it's still somewhat in our DNA, like I said. But, you know, now, hey, let's try something new. Well, you talk to people all day, let's get you into sales. So I kind of started, I just, you know, hit the phones and let's try to call golf courses and get our bags in. So that's kind of, you know, my first step was really to say
when you had the idea, right, and you said, you mentioned everyone's strengths and meeting these different folks and bring, like, how did you go about finding people for your team?
Yeah, so like I said, Casey I knew since high school, right, and he was the one we were like, hey, like, let's pony up some money. And I worked with him on other ventures before. And then Galen, I had met actually in college. I went to Gonzaga University up in Spokane.
Okay.
He went to Washington State, which is Poland, which is like the town over. He moved down here, gosh, you know, 2015-ish or whatever. So we had just been hanging out. And then we said, hey, we're going to like give this golf thing a go. We need some help. Right? You know, are you down? He was like, yeah, sure. Like, let's go. Because he was doing some other like freelance or consulting work with some other stuff. So, and then he was like, hey, I got a guy, you know, you can come on board. And that was kind of how it snowballed. And then the business grew and they were getting a lot of like customer requests or customer, hey, I want to, you know, how can I get one for my girlfriend? Or hey, how can I process a return? Or hey, I have a tournament coming up. So just more emails than we could like handle. So then we put a job posting up and like Camden quickly came on board and, you know, kind of step by step.
It's, as somebody who's dabbled in the entrepreneurial world for companies of all different sizes, but now specifically working as an entrepreneur in some regards, the way you're saying the way to start, you're like, yeah, then this, then that. But real, was it like that? Or was there any hesitation? I mean, because COVID, you're on this product, you're doing these things, was there doubt we've been in? Like, how do you deal with the stress from going starting a new business?
Yeah, I mean, the way I looked at it, which made it a little bit easier, I said, look, if we don't move any of this product, we can like send it to like discount retailers or, or we can sell it at like closeout. Hopefully, I can make my money back. Okay. Well, if that's the worst case scenario to me, then like we should just go for it. Right. And so then like you start to see some like good feedback and like a little bit of product market fit. And so, I mean, even till now, you're still taking risks. Like, the one thing is that I've noticed is like you sell through a container of bags, you know, oh, I'm going to make all this money. Now you got to order two containers of bags. You sell through the two, you got to use that money to go for, pay for three, sell it and sell four. So, like, the bets are getting bigger essentially. And while trying to like hire more people to help grow the business, and, whether that works out or not, that's the risk you got to take, I guess.
So how you're looking at these risks and you're seeing them, is it becoming easier or is your stomach becoming a little stronger? We're taking these risks as each one gets bigger and bigger.
Yeah, thankfully I'm not the numbers guy, so
You don't have to look at
I don't
it.
see that the I don't feel it as much as Casey does. Casey's probably definitely a lot more stressed out than I am, but I don't know. I guess I'm probably, is it risk averse means you're not, you like to take risks? Is that, or is that the opposite?
Opposite.
Okay. Opposite of risk averse, I guess, or whatever that is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. You have a high risk.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go. So, have you gotten good at golf?
No,
No, not at all.
I sell it better than a client. So,
Okay.
but I will, since 2020, I've gotten better, but that's all relative.
Do you play a lot now, or is it the business kind of taking?
See, I think that's the biggest misconception in the golf industry is that people think that we're on the golf course all day long, when in reality, I've got way too much to do helping other people get out on the course every day. So, I mean, I just to give you an example, I had to, I mean, I took a day off of work and I put in for 2 weeks out to, hey, I need a day off. And I mean, I haven't been on the course in probably a month, and that's just to get one day of golfing,
Wow.
So
Wow.
it's not as easy as you think. I always say, if you wanted to golf all day, you got to become a doctor. You can't be in the golf industry.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. Going back to what you guys did before, you're a bartender and you're in the golf industry, but you didn't quite say like what was it that you were doing in the product? Were you sourcing?
Yeah,
Sourcing?
sourcing it. Yeah, sourcing and like working with the manufacturers in Asia to like say Callaway or TaylorMade, they would give us a design and say, hey, I need 10,000 of these bags made.
But it was specifically core bags.
Four bags.
Okay, got it. So it's a natural, this is a natural step in some ways.
So what I did.
Was there anything surprising for you in this whole venture? Like whether it be the beginning, middle, or
No.
next, what has been the biggest surprise for you running this business?
I guess just the growth of it, right? It started off as like a small little par three bag, and so if you just took it at face value, you'd be like, yeah, it's not gonna be where it's at today. But yes, as long as we continue to make good product and like help golfers have more fun, it becomes easier to say, okay, well, we can get a bigger bag, and then okay, we can listen. And then at that point, you're getting like customers, and they're kind of telling you like, hey, make a cart bag. Okay, well, what do you want to see in the cart bag? Right? And hey, do you guys have any hats? We'll get to work. I'm trying to make some hats that people like, want it.
And so you're listening to the customer. Is there a process that you put in place to listen to the customers? Do you have like a feedback
We
mechanism?
have like a private Facebook group that, we'll ask them questions and they'll respond in it. I'm also like CC'd on all the customer reviews. So I see all the customer reviews that come by, and then like, you start to see patterns on stuff. Hey, there's no tea holder on this. I'm like, all right, well, we should add a tea holder on this bag. Like sometimes people tend to overcomplicate it, but sometimes it really is that like, as long as you're just like kind of in the trenches listening to the customers, and then relaying that to the product development team.
Yeah, we did a post on Reddit and basically just asked like, hey, we're gonna make a cart bag. What are the, what are the features you have to have in a cart bag? And that post went viral, and there was hundreds and hundreds of responses. And we basically took those responses and kind of filtered them out and go, hey, this is a great idea. This is a great idea. So, I mean, we very much so listen to the customers, to the feedback. I mean, even just the fact our Loma bag, you know, we could have literally just stuck with that and that could be our game. And we could have dialed that in and make that the best far three bag ever. But customers saying, hey, man, God, I love that bag so much. I just wish I could fit a few more clubs in. So there was the Loma XL was born. Oh, man, dude, if we could fit a few more clubs in, looks like there's a market for this. Boom, and now we make that one. Then the same thing, the feedback from that was, man, I wish I could fit like 11 clubs in mine. And so the El Camino was born. And just, you know, taking the feedback from the customers and adding that to the next product.
And so when you guys do get that feedback and you bring it back to the team, is there a process then that you guys sit around a table and have a Google Doc or a sheet? Like, what is that? That,
yeah, I mean, it's just, we have like weekly meetings with the design team, you know, and then we'll talk about, hey, is this something you want to pursue? Or is this like, you know, is this one request from one person? Or is it, hey, this is a common request, and okay, if it gets to be enough, then it's worth, again, taking a risk on developing the product.
How long does it take for you guys to get from an idea, the concept, to the actual prototype, to actually getting it to market?
Yeah, I mean, prototype could take probably 30 days, you know, or like, let's say 45 days, you know, once you give like the factory, hey, here's our design. But to bring it to actually like to market, you know, we're planning like 2026 stuff already, because there's probably about 18 months of product development and like sales presentations. And then just like a mass production lead time is about 5 months. So that adds, you know, 30% right there. But like, you know, it really depends. Like, you get Sam gets on in 30 to 45 days and you'd be like, great, no changes, awesome. Well, now let's put in the mass production order. Now the clock takes on 5 months. And golf bags, unfortunately, the time is extremely long. I like a t-shirt where someone's just like screen printing on to build a golf bag and, you know, assemble it takes a long time.
How long did it take you, or maybe because you already knew some of the folks from your previous trip, like when you're finding different vendors, what's your QA? Like, how do you vet them, or do you just have your go-to people now?
Yeah, we just have like our go-to people now. But like I said, I lived there for 5 years and like just built up a network of partners.
So you already had it set up.
Was he the same guy that you were dealing with when you were living over there?
I mean, there's multiple people, so like Kevin was one of those guys, but there's like a ton of people, you know, just different factories.
How have you worked with other folks in the golf industry, whether it be in San Diego or elsewhere? Is there any strategic partnerships that you have with other companies or firms, or do you see other people in networking groups? And the reason, so one of the things that I'm realizing now, because actually my friend Jeffrey Goldstein, you guys are doing some work with him, but I'm starting to realize how connected it is sometimes. And do you see that in the industry? Do you see other folks from this?
I think if it's any industry, it's smaller than you think, right? But like with the golf industry being in San Diego, I think it's like even more connected, and San Diego just having great weather for people to play golf. So yeah, it's a small industry. Like you'll not so much here at Sunday Golf, but you'll see a lot of people work at Callaway and then move to TaylorMade or go to Cobra or go to Titleist, right? Because they're all up there. They're all bad. So it's just kind of, then you're staying within the same industry.
Yeah. What's next for Sunday Golf? Because you mentioned you listen to the customers, and you got the bags, you got the smaller bags, and they're getting larger. You got the hats. What else is going on? What's next? What do people want?
Yeah, I mean, I think we came out with a lot of our first generation models in terms of like the full size stand bag or the small bag or even the cart bag, you know. And now it's like, okay, how do we make that 1% better? Right? How do we listen to like what's their feedback? Like, it's a tee holder, adding another pocket here, or making it a 5-way divider or a 5-way top instead of a 4-way top. So just the changes on the bags itself, and then just other accessories. You know, like we come out with this cooler bag about a year or two ago, called the Big Frosty, and I was just like, oh, we'll see how it does. Now that's really taken off just because people now take it camping, hiking, on the boat, right? So kind of just exploring those other soft goods, I would say, is, because again, that's my wheelhouse in terms of design. A lot of people ask us, hey, do apparel, do apparel. And I personally would love to do apparel too. It's the sexy industry, but it's also very competitive. And then it's also learning a whole new skill, right? And design and in factories, right? So it's like saying, oh, you can speak Spanish, now speak Chinese. Just because I can speak Spanish doesn't mean I can easily like speak another language, right? So yeah, I think we have hands full and like golf bags, and that's our core focus. So until there's another light bulb moment, we're pretty much that sound like golf bags.
How do you maintain like camaraderie around the team? Is there anything you do? Because you have such a good vibe here. Like everybody I've met gets along, they're fun, they seem like a very happy, joyful group that you have here. Is there things that you do as a company? Cause how many employees do you have right now?
We have 8 here in San Diego, and then two, one in Denver, one in Colorado.
Okay. So you don't let them play golf. Don't give them time to play golf. So is there anything else that you do as far as building camaraderie?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, some things that we brought to this, just to give you an example, we all realized that, hey, man, we don't now ever get out and golf. So we brought the golf to us. So we actually took it down because we're moving offices, but we used to have a golf simulator right there.
Yes.
We used to have, well, we still have, it's right there, it's a karaoke machine. We used to do karaoke every single Friday. We still do, we do happy hours all the time. We do at least once a quarter, we're doing kind of a leadership kind of takes everybody out and does just a really fun day. We literally just, I think it was 2 weeks ago, we went and golfed in the morning. Right after that, we took a party bus down to the La Jolla Shores and we went kayaking. We went on a kayak tour. After that, we hit up a little happy hour, eat some food and then, bus everybody back. And it's just, it honestly, like we, I think it's every, I think first off and foremost, when we hire personality.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody is like, make sure you're a good fit here. And, sure, if you bring something that nobody else has to the table, it's fantastic, but you've got to be a fit here first off and foremost.
Like culture fit.
Absolutely, 100%.
Yeah, and for those listening, well, actually, you can't see it if you're watching. Their karaoke machine is no joke. There's it looks like 20 different speakers on it, and the laser light show on top.
Yeah.
And also for those again who are listening in their office, they have a picture of Lionel Richie up on the wall. Which did you say it's as easy like Sunday morning?
Yeah.
Is that yeah, that's it. And just I mean, it's a great office. Hopefully, the new office that you're moving to is going to have the same feel. So you
Yeah,
have.
well, I think it's this one is very like it started out as like this one, and then we expanded to that next office across the hall or across through the door. It definitely won't have like the energy up downtown, like you can hear the concert going on and stuff like that. But I think definitely within the four walls or whatever, we'll make it.
Yeah. So you've been here in this location, and for those of you, maybe you can hear the background noise, not sure, but you can hear music right now. They are right outside of Petco Park, right above
Yeah.
Bubs Dive,
Yeah.
right in downtown.
I mean, there's been nights where God, who was it that somebody played not too long ago, and I mean, everybody just kind of came into the office to listen for a listening party. We opened the windows, we ordered some pizza, get some beers, and then we're all just kind of in here hanging out, listening to music. And it'll be on a Friday night where there's 30 people in the office just hanging out, listening to music that's going on next door.
It'll be it's hard to watch Padre games though, because if you have it on the TV here, you'll hear a home run like before, well before, but which is good because sometimes you're working, like we have a TV in my office too, and I'll be working. I'll hear the applause or the cheers from the stadium, and then I'll know to turn and like look at the TV and like watch the play.
That's great. Get a little heads up.
Yeah, and that reminded me of a quick little story. So when the Padres had an opening day, we basically, this was I think 3 years ago, we decided to have an opening day party in the office. And we basically called all the local golf courses, ask the head pros, hey, are you or any of your staff going to opening day Padres? Oh, you are. Hey, stop by Sunday Golf headquarters right next door. We got a full keg. We're ordering pizzas. We got the golf simulator going. We're going to do a closest to the hole kind of little fun thing for everybody. And, you know, slowly but surely, everybody started creeping up. And then it kind of turned out to, you know, we're just yelling out the street, hey, do you anybody like golf and beer? And, yeah, we went to our office. And there was about, 150, 200 people in our office, of which we knew maybe half of them. And just so happens that the property manager came over that day, too, just to do a check-in. And I think it was me, and I accidentally kind of, it was the landlord, and she's, well, unfortunately for my judgment, there's two pretty young ladies, and I go, oh, you guys here for the party? And they go, well, yeah, we're here for the party. Where is it? And I showed them up to the office, and they kind of were shocked at how many people were in here. And then the next day, we got a pretty scathing letter from them about, you know, how could you do this?
Those two women were the landlords.
Were the landlords, yeah.
Did you know they were the
landlords? I had no idea.
Until
the next day, yeah. And, a pretty scathing letter, which we basically just turned right around and posted on Facebook and Instagram. And there were so many people saying, man, I haven't bought your product yet, but I'm already a full-fledged member of the Sunday Golf Army. You guys are partying like that, having that much fun, and you know, that's kind of your personalities. I want to be a part of that. So,
yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, luckily, it didn't get kicked out, but it was a very like, this is the last time this could ever happen kind of way.
Yeah, well, you're gonna be here for one more time,
yeah.
So there may be a good party.
Yeah,
I missed the other party. I'm not missing the other
yeah.
Party. Oh, that's great, but that says something about the camaraderie that you built, like the vibe that you. Not a maybe a great way to make friends with your neighbors, but a way to let your friends be known. So is there anything you want to leave our audience with? You've been really gracious with your time. Thank you for having me here and sharing your story. Is there anything else that you want to share about your journey and what you're learning along the way?
I don't know. I mean, there's so much we've learned, but I don't know. I mean, I think it's, I guess the biggest thing is like it's really a team effort, right? Because just from like again, like Pat and Gail and like helping you ship the boxes from day one, you know, always like Casey to do the kennel and I could work on the sales and just yeah, like okay, well, now what does it look like with 12 people, you know, 20 people, right? Like the you know, what do they say if you want to go far or whatever, if you want to,
you want.
What does it do now?
If you want to go fast, go alone. Yeah. Go far.
That's it. That's the mic drop right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's good. How about yourself?
You know, in business, if you're being successful, you're going to grow. And the one thing that I've learned is you're going to have growing pains. There's always going to be hurdles. And you know, I preach this all the time that I wish I was better practicer of it because it's not me all the time. But as long as you have the right attitude when you're going through those rough patches or the growing pains, it's going to be all right. You're going to learn it. You're going to fail at some things. You're going to be frustrated. You're going to hate your life for a little while. But it's like if you still have that right attitude with your coworkers, with you know your customers, with even yourself, you're going to get through it. And 9 out of 10 times, you're going to be better off on the other side. And just kind of that camaraderie, you know, just if you're the guy that kind of shuts down your other employees and won't help and kind of just always has the attitude, it's just not a fun place to be around. So for me, it's attitude, and attitude is what's going to get you there.
Yeah. Well, that reminds me of something that I learned earlier on in my career that a coworker told me, and I've said this on an episode before, but it's been that impactful for me. I was struggling, and I asked a coworker like how he dealt stress of the job that I had. He said, attitude and activity. It's all about your attitude and your activity. As long as you don't let anybody else's negative attitude or them not working negatively impact yours, everything works out.
Yeah.
And you know, when he said it, I was in a bad mood. And I was being dismissive of it. I was like, what kind of Tony Robbins bullshit? Even though Tony Robbins is great.
Yeah.
And I was like, what are you trying? And I'm glad to hear you guys say that and share this because I think about it a lot. I think it's true.
Yeah,
it's hard. Yeah, stay positive.
Definitely been some times where I'm ready to pull my hair out, Or even, I'd walk in and I already know how stressful today is going to be. But if I walk in and somebody makes me crack a smile and cuts a joke and I have a good time, it just it's a totally different demeanor. You know, it's a game changer.
That's amazing. And that's, again, a testament to the team you guys have built and the culture that you're creating.
Yeah.
Guys, thank you so much.
Hey, thank you.
It's been a lot of fun.
Appreciate it.
All our pleasure, for sure.